You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode 225. If you want to listen to this episode as well as future episodes, feel free to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. If you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a nice five-star algorithm-friendly review. So, we are going to split things into two for this midweek episode. A little Copa reaction and a little look ahead to the big game against Milan over the weekend. So let me bring in here Chucks. Hello, Chucks.
Good evening, guys. The different time that we're recording. Usually we kind of record at our set schedule, but given the different time of the Copa game and the different schedule here, we improvised here. So I guess it's also been a while, or we're not used to midweek games as much, given that we haven't been in Europe. So maybe that's really, really the bigger thing.
That is the biggest thing this season, especially. And back from his world travels, Sergio Romero. Hello, Sergio.
Hey, fellas. Happy to be here as always. Yeah, happy to be back. I'm potting, and then midweek. That midweek grind was it's always tough. It's really, really tough when results are not going Juve's way, which that was like the case for the last 2-3 years. So happy to be doing some midweek content, which actually like a good result.
That's right. And Sergio back from Italy, his latest trip to Milan with a custom number 10 jersey. Do you want to tell the listeners which name is on the back of that number 10 jersey, Sergio?
It's mine. It's my own name because and I think that is the way things are going right now for Juventus, in which I was just not into using any name of any of the current players of the squad. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do me. I'm just going to do my own name.
There you go. Well, I definitely wanted to get a mention of that when I saw it on the good old Twitter machine. Well, Sergio, since you haven't been here for a few episodes, we're not necessarily going to do takeaways because obviously the midweek episodes are a little different. But what were your thoughts on everything that went down against Lazio in the Coppa Italia finals? And what are your thoughts on the Coppa Italia final, knowing that we know who Juventus will be facing after Wednesday's game between Fiorentina and Atalanta?
Yeah, just it was funny that... first of all, a little context. So I didn't watch the game live. I watched the replay. And when I put it on and I just saw the length of like the, you know, the video, quote unquote, I was like, okay, they didn't go to overtime. So that's something I already know. And then when Lazio scored like super early in the first half and then super early in the second half, I was like, there's no way they pulled it off. Like, I mean, they lost it, like they blew it. Like there's no, absolutely. And the way they were playing, like to me it was like, okay, cool. Like might as well just start writing right now about how they blew a 2-goal lead and all of that. And then for the goal to actually come from a Team Wea cross and an Arik Milic finish, two of the most, I think, maligned players in the squad. It's just, it's you know, it was just a game in which things turned out well for Juventus and they did absolutely nothing to deserve it, which was, you know, kind of like weird. We haven't had that many games like that this season. So, I mean, I'm happy for that, but I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of concerned for how this team is going to finish out the season, because, you know, we talked about, you know, the mentality and how this team kind of fell off after losing to Inter and like falling off the Scudetto race. But in Coppa Italia, like they kind of seemed like a different team. And, you know, in this second leg, I mean, it was just, you know, it was the same thing that we saw against Cagliari and the same thing that we've been seeing in the league for games now, for like months now. It was very discouraging because there was this sort of hypothesis going on, like if they're still playing for something, you know, they're going to get up, like that mentality is going to change a little bit. And it did not. It did not. I mean, that goal felt, I don't want to say undeserved, but a little lucky. Like it wasn't, it came from a bad cross. Like, you know what I mean? Like that Team Wea recross, it came from like a bad cross from the other side. Like it never felt like that same team that came out and played a really, really good game against Lazio at home. It looked like exactly the same disheveled, just bad team that we've been seeing in the league play for the last 2-3 months. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's sad because I really thought that, you know, for whatever reason in the Coppa Italia, they would, you know, play differently. And they didn't. They got away with it. It was a lucky, lucky game. They did just enough in the first leg that they had some margin for error and capitalized on it. But, you know, in terms of going into the final, I feel just very, very low confidence in what it can do against a pretty, pretty decent, pretty solid Atalanta team.
Chuck, were you like me where you were preparing for doom and the just kind of essentially waiting on Lazio to get that third goal before all kind of just out of nowhere Juve get the goal that sends them through to the final?
It wasn't even the third goal necessarily, or the pending third goal. It was really after the first goal. The fact that it was a very early first goal, that was really the thing that set that, I guess, doom for me. Because the thing about, you know, comebacks like these when you're, you know, when the first leg is at least 2 goals difference, the crucial thing with these types of games and comebacks is that when/if the first goal is early, that to me sets the entire tone of the game. You know, because it's that feeling of like, okay, for the other team, like, we don't really think we're going to come back, but hey, you know, we never know. Things might happen. And it always, always, always hinges on that early first goal. Once you get that early first goal, then, I mean, you can just see it from the team, in this case, Juventus, who was in the lead. You can just see like, oh, bloody hell, it might just happen. And then the other team, Lazio in this case, being like, hey, you know, this can be it. Like, if it's going to happen, this is going to how it's going to happen. And, you know, it usually that the team that scores that goal then carries that momentum. And it, like I said, just sets the tone for the entire game. You know what's going to happen. You know it's going to be Lazio going just full throttle for it. Of course, because they have that first goal and it's early and they're playing at home. And then Juventus, which we're used to it anyway, sitting back and soaking up the pressure, are now definitely going to sit back and soak up the pressure, and more than that, just be nervous and, yeah, just very nervous and fragile. I think an interesting contrast actually is the game, speaking of Atalanta, the game between Atalanta and Liverpool, actually, the second game, the one that Liverpool won by, I think it was 1-0. It's kind of a similar situation. You know, Atalanta won by very comfortable margin, by a big surprise there. Probably one of their most historic wins, I mean, honestly, in their club history, which is, I mean, I don't think that's an exaggeration to say. You know, it was a similar situation, the relatively early goal from Liverpool, and just that sense of like, oh man, if it's going to happen, it's going to be like this. But crucial difference there being Gasperini just realized like, okay, you know, no, we're not going to have this, and change things tactically sufficiently to, you know, to really take the sting out of Liverpool and just basically control the game, frankly, very comfortably from, I mean, I didn't watch the game, but I read the report and, you know, kind of got a sense of the game just based on comments and review. And that was simply not the case here with Lazio and Juventus. I feel like it didn't really change anything tactically. I mean, he brought in the subs obviously late on, but, you know, nothing really changed. So it was just the entire narrative from that first goal was just the same throughout the game until the 2-1. And that was just, you know, Lazio going for it. And of course they will, you know. So, it was very discouraging. The whole game was just discouraging. When that first goal went in, I was like, oh, I know what it's going to be. And then the second goal went in, and I just knew it's just, I mean, the players want the season to be over so, so badly. It's just, I don't know. We all do.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for me was the fact that, obviously, like you said, Shucks, if they are to potentially mount that comeback, you get that first one out of the way. And obviously, Lazio did. And I feel like that was just, you know, they needed something to kick the snowball going downhill. And that moment definitely was. And I don't know, ever since they tied it, it was just like, okay, this is Juventus throwing away a 2-0 lead is just going to fit perfectly into what we've seen from this team the last 3 months. It's just like, here's the latest chapter of suck from Juventus. And it's going to be going from up 2-0 in the first leg of the Coppa Italia semifinals to now throwing it away in less than 90 minutes. And I mean, thankfully, you know, thanks to Mattia Perin, thanks to a couple other big moments, that third goal never arrived. And Lazio, for as much work as they did to come back, they left the door open for Juventus to essentially pull a rabbit out of their hat, get the one goal they needed after it was tied 2-2, and get the spot in the Coppa semis. So,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With that, I think we can talk real quick about the two big misses that are going to be happening in the Coppa Italia final. And obviously for Juventus, that's Manuel Locatelli being suspended because of yellow card accumulation. And maybe more importantly, knowing how he's played the last few months, is Gianluca Scamacca for Atalanta, who has essentially been like, Luciano Spalletti, I am your number 9 for Euros. Please give me that number 9 jersey right now. Thank you. So, in your mind, guys, do you feel like Scamacca is the bigger loss, or knowing how Juventus's midfield is, Locatelli, no matter what form he may be in right now, is the bigger loss?
I think, you know, obviously they're two super key players. I think for Juventus, to me, that the difference is going to be, and I know this might be asking a whole lot based on how the season has gone and at who Max Allegri is, But it really is going to depend if Juventus, you know, dares, or at least, you know, has some sort of idea of trying a different formation in the final, which I understand is more wishful thinking than anything. But just because, you know, there's really no, absolutely nobody who can play that role for Juventus. Like, you know, obviously Scamacca is an amazing striker and a very good striker, but, you know, they have other capable strikers, obviously not going to completely fill that hole. But for Juventus, the you know, the difference between Locatelli and, say, Hans in that position, even when Locatelli's not in his best form, or even when he's not playing at his best, that gap is massive, and I think is way, way bigger than, you know, whatever the gap is from Scamacca to you know, a backup striker in that system, which has been friendly to so many strikers over the years. So to me, I think the bigger loss is for Juventus and Locatelli, you know, provided that they don't, you know, that Max Allegri doesn't try to pull, you know, a rabbit out of the hat and pull off, you know, like a two midfielder formation, which we don't even know. I think, you know, right now, I think Max Allegri is in a lose-lose situation, because if he does change formations for the final, it's going to be, and it doesn't work out, it's going to be, how do you change formations for the final? That's so dumb. And if he doesn't, and, you know, sticks with Hans or whoever, then it's going to be like, well, you know, he should have done something differently. How do you line up for like a guy like Hans in the final? So he's kind of in a lose-lose situation if you lose that game in terms of lineups or setups. But you know, going back to the question, I do think the bigger loss is Locatelli.
I 100% agree. I'll add a little bit of a different perspective in the sense that, you know, again, I agree with the fact that we have less of a replacement for Locatelli than Atalanta does for Scamacca. I mean, really the options are either Hans Nicolussi Caviglia, which, you know, Allegri did that in that big, big move for, was it the first Derby d'Italia, I think it was?
Yeah.
Where he started, yeah. Obviously, big surprise there. And, you know, that worked out reasonably well. I mean, it wasn't a disaster. It was, you know, it was decent. Either that or indeed a formation change. I think, frankly, both are equally likely in my mind. So I really don't know. I don't know what it will be. So that's, you know, for us. And then from Atalanta's perspective, I think it's less of a loss just, you know, from like Sergio said, just with having capable strikers. But also I think they already have that big physical presence, that big physical attacking presence in Cope Mainers. You know, he's kind of a pseudo striker-ish. And, you know, he's similar to Scamacca. Obviously less, you know, he's a midfielder rather than an actual center forward. So he's, you know, far less back to goal and more just kind of going into midfield, picking up the ball and kind of helping create the play. But still, I think it's still a, like, just a physical presence. They already have that physical upfront presence in Cope Mainers. So there's less of a, I don't know, tactical loss, I guess, by, you know, losing Scamacca. You can kind of play around with Cope Mainers and, you know, maybe put him a little more attacking. I mean, even then, I mean, in the previous game against us, in that 2-2 game, I mean, he scored two goals, you know, and especially that second goal, he was in a 100% in a center forward position there and making a center forward run just in behind a line, behind the Juventus defensive line. So I think you kind of have an option there, so they can, or Gasperini can, you know, tweak a little bit and still be okay. But Allegri has the bigger change or the bigger decision to make, I guess, with what to do without Locatelli.
Yeah, I think, understandably, the discussion of who steps in for Locatelli has been something that I've seen on the blog comment section. And there have been two names that I think, and I selfishly threw out one of them, seeing as what Max Allegri has said over the past few months, especially when Locatelli was out earlier this season, is that Adrian Rabiot could be somebody who steps in. And then kind of the wild card, and we've seen this under a couple of different managers, what if Danilo goes in there?
Yeah.
And that would be a throwback to when Andrea Pirlo was Juventus's manager, and the handful of times Danilo was used as a as a holding, you know, as the essentially as the regista, which would kind of, in a way, have things come full circle, seeing as this is a rematch of the 2021 Coppa Italia final, which just so happens to be Juventus's last trophy that they've won, and the manager on that night, Andrea Pirlo.
Hey, you really pulled it all together there.
There you go. That's why we make the big bucks here, Trucks.
That's, yeah, that's why you're the co-producer as well. You know, yeah, that is a wild card. I honestly did not think of that at all. I think the thought process for me would be, okay, is what you gain by putting Danilo as a kind of emergency regista, is what you gain by doing that greater than what you lose from not having him in the back three, and more importantly, not figuring out who's going to then play instead of him? Because if it's going to be, you know, well, I'm sure we'll talk about him, but
yeah, the star of the first goal from Lockheed.
Yeah, yeah, the one to mighty Alexandro. If it ends up being Alexandro playing, then instead of, you know, Danilo in the back three, well, then I think you're absolutely losing more than you're gaining. I mean, with all respect, which is real. I mean, we'll talk about it more, but yeah, if you're going to do that, then absolutely not. If you put in Hugani, yeah, I mean, why not? I think you can do that and still get away reasonably well with that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting option. I think, you know, it's possibility.
Yeah, I think, you know, just the fact that we're discussing this kind of speaks to what we were saying about that drop in quality, because we're right. Talking about a guy, you know, in Adrian Rabiot, who we have plenty of evidence that he's, you know, he doesn't really play well in that holding midfielder role. And Danilo, who's, that's not even his position, his actual position. Like, and I actually honestly lean towards Danilo. So that's kind of like how bad things are in that department, because, you know, I do see a scenario in which you can play that three-man back line. You just go Rugani, Gatti, Bremer, and it's like, we're going to defend for our lives. And, you know, Danilo kind of like plays some sort of hybrid role between, you know, fullback and center mid or whatever. You know, I can see that maybe working against Atalanta. But, you know, just the fact that those are kind of like our two most appealing options kind of speaks to you know, how badly this team is going to look without Locatelli in that position.
Or just how badly we look, period.
Well,
you know.
We've got 3 months of evidence for that.
We're already working from a pretty low base, and this is going to be tough. I mean, I'm excited about playing in a final. I'm excited about, you know, competing for a trophy. I think that's good. I think that's part of the DNA of this club, you know, to even in lean years, to be competing for silverware, to be competing for trophies. It guarantees a nice chunk of change with the Supercoppa next year in Saudi Arabia, which remains weird for a whole other number of reasons. But, you know, at least it you know, it's more money coming in for Juventus, so that's good. But, you know, I just don't. And look, I want to be positive, but like I really, really don't feel confident at all that they can come out and play a good game against Atalanta. Like it really is. It's a bad matchup for them. Like against Fiorentina, like the way they play them, like I could foresee a much, much better avenue to surviving not having Locatelli in there and just kind of like defending. And you know you can frustrate them. You know that they have struggled to score on Juventus. I think they haven't scored on Juventus all season long. So like there was a very clear formula there for beating Fiorentina. But with Atalanta, I think it's a lot trickier. Like it's not going to be easy at all. And, you know, even if it's cool that they're in a final and they're going to play for a trophy and, you know, it's one game, so anything can happen. The confidence is at a pretty low point right now.
And the simple fact that Atalanta is just the better team.
They are, yeah. Not in the table, but, you know, in form, in everything, they are.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. So obviously we'll be talking more about this as the Coppa Italia final comes closer. It is, what, May 15th, I believe, at the Stadio Olimpico in Rome. So hopefully Juventus don't play play as bad at the Stadio Olimpico this time around, or next time around, as they have the last few times around, because then we'll probably see Atalanta celebrating the Coppa win. Any other final comments before we switch over to talking a little Juve Milan, gentlemen?
Well, I think again, just kind of to speak on the whole Alexandro thing, I think it's just a real shame to see a player who was once so great. I mean, honestly, I think at one point he was like at his peak, absolute peak with Juventus. I think he really was pushing top five left backs in the world for like a good 6 month period when he was really, 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 you know, he had multiple seasons where he was, you know, very good, but at an absolute peak for like, you know, a good 6 months or so, I think he was really pushing that top five left backs. To go from that to now being, I mean, frankly, the laughing stock of Juventus back line is a real shame. And, you know, I think he's also kind of just getting a lot of hate now, which I think it just points to the fact that there has to be some kind of plan for letting really great players slowly and gracefully kind of exit the scene. I just see this happen too often where, you know, really great players, they continue playing and they're declining, but they just, I don't know, everybody just ignores it, I guess. And they're just just keep playing.
it's the kind of the consistent discussion about any player, really, especially players who are getting older. Would you rather the team part with them 1 year early rather than keeping a hold of them 1 year later than you should have?
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, I think it's both parties. It's both the player and the club saying, all right, look, we want you to exit on a high. We want your, you know, the memories of the fans and players and just the club to be positive about you. So we're going to, you know, yeah, I don't know, just phase you out or even let you go earlier or, I don't know, transition you into a different role within the club. But there just has to be more of a plan with players like that, because again, you just get into a mess like this where, again, I mean he's not very good right now, but I still think it's like, let's not forget that at one point he was extremely, extremely good, and you know, I'm still very thankful for those times, but it's just a shame that this will be kind of the memory of him, the most recent any memory anyway, and that's, yeah, that I just think it could have been avoided.
Yeah, the Alexander thing is just, and you know, he had a decent game outside of that. But if you're being, you know, played in that role and you know, you're like a third center back, like just those type of mistakes are, you know, inexcusable. And that's the worst thing with him at this point in his career and his Juve stint, that you just know that something like that is coming at some point. Like you just know that he's gonna mess up in some, you know, defensive, you know, situation sooner or later, which gives you zero confidence in him starting, especially in the three-man back line. I just don't see it. And I get trying to give a player, you know, a decent farewell, especially a guy that's been so long for Juventus. But just there has to be a better way. I mean, there has to be a better way to give the guy a farewell and not give him those minutes, especially in big, big games like this one.
Yeah, so obviously Alexandro, we'll see how many appearances he has left. Obviously, he's closing in on the Juventus record for foreign players, but at this point, I don't know if, say, a Coppa Italia final, while a bigger stage than anything Juventus has played on these last few weeks, is really, really the time to give him the appearance record, unless it's like a 85th minute cameo, maybe. I don't know. So we'll talk a little bit about Juve Milan to wrap things up for this week. Obviously, we were talking about the suspensions for the Coppa Italia final. But gentlemen, you look at everything that came out of the Milan Derby, and Milan have almost what you feel like their entire starting back line suspended after what happened. You've got Calabria suspended. You've got Teo Hernandez suspended. Tomori suspended. So while we obviously know full well that Juventus are not the attacking juggernaut that that they looked like during the month of January, if there ever was a game in which a struggling Juventus could upset second-place Milan, and it feels weird saying that, but it feels like it could be this one.
Yeah, you know, it looks like, you know, Juventus is like having, well, it doesn't look like it, like they've been having an awful second half. But Milan, despite everything, is 5 points clear of Juventus. So it's not like, you know, they're far closer to us than they were to Inter Milan this season. They haven't been all that great either. Obviously, you know, the form is completely different. But I think, you know, if you're going to face them, this is as good a moment to do so. I think, you know, and I say that just to you know, obviously, like you said, they're not, you know, with the suspensions and everything, this is as good a time as any to play them. But also because, you know, the gap between Inter Milan and every single other team in Italy has been so big this season that is honestly pretty awful, because it's Inter Milan. But, you know, it's sometimes we get way, way down about Juventus, and it's like, you know, there's not really, other than Inter Milan, there hasn't been another team that's, you know, been lights out. So it's, you know, it's been a season of streaks for everyone. So hopefully they get them in a good place and they can, you know, mount a challenge. But I still don't feel confident at all about, you know, whatever they can do in this game.
Yeah, I think the one thing that could work in our favor is the fact that, actually two things, is A, the fact that Milan might be as checked out as we are for the rest of the season, given that they literally have nothing to play for anymore, out of Champions League, out of Europa League, out of the Coppa Italia, and now in probably one of the more unpleasant ways, they were officially out of the title by losing, you know, in such a symbolic game against Inter. That probably was a, well, yeah, speaking of morale, I mean, you know, and motivation, I mean, we've talked about how lowly motivated Juventus is and how checked out they are, but I think just that type of loss probably was very, you know, jarring and just very demoralizing for Milan. So yeah, that I mean, I think just that mentally might work in our favor, just that they're, you know, they're just over it as well. What do they have to play for? They have their entire back line basically missing. So I think that could work in our favor. And the fact that we're playing at home, for what it's worth, we're playing at home, and that, that helps as well. So, and I mean, in reality as well, they basically have second place, I mean, tied up. So yeah, just all these things, I think they will be motivated-ish, but I think that, I don't know, I don't think they'll be all that bothered in this game.
Yeah, the only thing that really would essentially get second place wide open again would be a Juventus win. So, you know, as Sergio mentioned, it's 5 points difference between the two clubs. You cut that down to two with four games to go, and who knows what can happen even with Juventus's schedule being the way it is. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there are rumors, just like when it comes to Max Allegri, about Stefano Pioli's future, which is looking very much like the way of Max, in which he is not necessarily going to be in a job at his current club much longer. So who knows, like we said, who knows where they are mentally. I mean, this win for Milan obviously would lock up second place essentially, or virtually mathematically. And who knows, maybe it is already locked up with how Juventus have played the last 3 months. But yeah, it's funny, because usually a big game like this would kind of around this time start getting hyped up, and it's like, oh, we're two and a half days out, and it's like, eh.
Yeah, we just want it to be over. And yeah, again, Milan have also just have a very up and down season, a bit similar to you. But well, no, I'll say a little bit reverse. They started somewhat poorly, and then really kind of turned on, you know, a good run of form, very consistent run of form, essentially at the same time as Juventus completely tanked. So yeah, they've had an up and down season as well. Despite a second place finish, I think the overwhelming feeling is that they've underperformed. And well, yeah, again, Pioli may or may not be in a job at the end of this season.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, like it speaks to, you know, how, you know, this season specifically, like, you know, and last season even, you know, with Napoli, it just, there's just been a very clear division between, you know, the very, very best team in the league and then, you know, all the rest. And like Chuck said, like they've all had, you know, good, you know, good stretches of form, bad stretches of form. Like there hasn't really been a dominant team or a consistent enough team all season other than Inter Milan. So, you know, kudos to them, you know, bad for everyone else. And, you know, hopefully next season we get like an actual, you know, a title race, something a little bit more resembling to it.
Yeah. I mean, what the runners up were on their way to the Champions League final last season. Right. So obviously a little bit, you could say Europa League and Conference League with Fiorentina and Roma, but a little different situation. Does that mean Calcio is still back, by the way?
Of course, less it back. Always is. Less back. I mean, hey, five places in Champions League, so you can't, you know, numbers don't lie, stats don't lie.
That's right. Well, Max and his Champions League quotes, man. God, I think we're happy enough for the season to be over just so those end.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's just doing it on purpose now. Like that 100%. Comment of like, no, it was never top four. It was just Champions League. Like that just, that was very clearly, like at some point you gotta respect it.
Isn't that what we call gaslighting?
Yeah.
So there
it's
you
like
go.
We're not dumb, Max. Now that you have a little bit more room for error, so that doesn't mean it's not still top four, seeing as you were in a point or two out of first place in the beginning of February. So, gentlemen, do we want to finish this episode off on a Twitter question we received on Instagram?
Sure. Oh man, that's some inception Twitter question on Instagram,
or a social media question on Instagram.
They're all the same anyway. And given that one of them is about to be banned from the United States, well, you know, I guess that's more juice for these other platforms. So,
question from Christine Maniscalco. There we go. Question for the pod: if we started a GoFundMe page, do you think we can still raise enough capital to donate to Juve to ensure that Max leaves in the summer?
Yeah, I'm not putting any money towards that. In fact, I just
you just bought your jersey.
I just bought my jersey. I feel like that's more than enough. And actually, in the doldrums of that bad streak, I bought two knockoff Shopee, which I don't know if you have Shopee in the United States, but it's kind of like a, you know, just purveyor of fake goods from Thailand, I think. I have no idea. But I bought two knockoff Juve vintage jerseys, and they just arrived today. Better than expected. Nice. Better than I thought they would be. Nice. Yes. So, yeah, I'm not going to be giving any more money to Juventus. It's all exclusively knockoff, you know, Asian low quality, or, you know, better than expected quality, actually, kids for me from now on.
We might need photographic evidence on this on your Twitter account there, Serge.
I will upload it. One of them looks a lot better than, not a lot. I think they're both decent enough. Will there survive a couple washes? That's the question. But right now, they look decent.
Yeah, you're a better man than myself. I got a jersey gift Oh, that was the one I was wearing. I mean, this is obviously an audio platform, but that was the one I was wearing. What was it, when we recorded 2 weeks ago?
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah, when I was in North Carolina. Yeah, yeah. So that's got that for Christmas. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, coincidentally, my day job, which I know we don't talk about our private lives here, but yeah. My day job is fundraising for nonprofits. So I suppose I would be somewhat qualified to do this if this were to become a reality. And given that, well, football clubs aren't great at making profit, or especially not Juventus, so kind of fits in sort of the same category. Yeah, hey, go for it. Go for it, man. I mean, you know, you'd be surprised the people who have money. That's one thing I've learned from fundraising. They hide. They hide in plain sight. They don't want you to know who they are, but they're there. They are there.
Well, there's an ominous note to to end on.
No matter how rich you are, we will find you. That's right. No, I don't know. Let me just wrap it up on that one.
Yeah, I think we will, Chuck. Good call. So yes. Thanks for the social media or Instagram question this week, or this episode, I should say. There's the creature habit coming back in. If you want to follow us on Twitter, feel free to do so at Juventus Nation. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well. Send in those Twitter questions or Instagram questions wherever you so please. Follow the Fans First Sports Network at Fans First SN on the Twitter machine, fansfirstsports.com, for all of the other podcasts around the network. If you do want to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform, feel free to do so. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a nice 5-star rating and a review. So for Chucks, for Sergio, for Sam, and producer Kalish, this is Danny saying thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in a few days.